Mary's Song. From our birth to our death, we journey, we discover, we set what they call ideals in our lives. Ideas that form at really young ages. Every now and then they need revised along our journey as we come to a place in our lives and must address an outdated idea about how our life should be. I'm going to give you an example. I think most of us know Lee Strobel. At the time, he was working for the Chicago Tribune. They sent him out on an assignment to report on the struggles of the impoverished inner city family, a specific family that he went to interview. And it was early on in the weeks before Christmas. He's a confirmed atheist at this point, has no real interest in God, although God is always moving. So he was quite surprised to find this family who had nothing. They had no furniture. They barely had clothes enough to wear. The girls didn't even have a coat between them. They had one sweater, and they had to walk through the Chicago streets to school. A little on the cool side, but they shared the sweater. One wore it halfway, the other wore it the other half. Needless to say, their lives were not comfortable. He wrote this story in The Case for Christmas, published back in 2005. So we're talking a time ago. And you do know, have you considered Mary, who made other journeys before her first Christmas, before the birth of Christ? After hearing from angel Gabriel, Mary went straight away to visit her relative Elizabeth, lived in a village in the hill country outside of Jerusalem. There, she found Elizabeth, who had lived her entire life without being able to have a baby. And she was also pregnant. And she had also heard from the angel Gabriel, someone who would understand Mary's journey. And they had both been called to a new journey. I have to tell you, the distance from Nazareth to the Judean hills, 90 miles. Most donkeys won't do that. Donkeys don't go 90 miles. They might go a few miles. Obviously, she did not take a donkey on this trip. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried off to this town in the hill country, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Now, I'm going back just a little bit because we got to catch up to the song. Luke makes it sound like Mary slipped out the front door, opened the gate, turned right, took a walk by the park, two blocks, and she was at Elizabeth's doorstep. We all know it was not a stroll in the park. All the Gospels portray ancient travel as undemanding. One begins here and ends there, as easy as teleporting from the spaceship Enterprise. Well, not so much. Mary could have traveled alone. Luke implies that likely with a caravan. 90 miles is a long trek. And now she's newly pregnant, so maybe not feeling quite top-notch. What Luke calls hill country, others refer to as the Judean mountains. It was not an easy walk at all. She stayed with Mary 3 months, or about 3 months, and then walked back home. And then had that chat with her family and with Joseph. Well, since we're talking about distances a little bit, let's just remember the distance from Nazareth then to Bethlehem of Ephrathah. That's 80 miles. If you want to take the shortcut through Samaria, it's 70 miles. But they probably didn't do that when they went. And if you're really reading the scriptures, there really wasn't a donkey. It only sounds pretty, right? You don't want a 9-month pregnant mama walking 80 miles because they were told to go there. But today, we're going to focus on another journey that Mary made, an internal journey that involved significant change of heart for this teenage girl who is about to give birth to the chosen one. It is a journey of trust. It's about the emotional distance she traveled after finding out that her life's plan was to be forever changed. Her journey is also our journey, because many of us have found out that this life we had planned, we'd planned to live it in a certain way, is not the life we're living right now. There are three phases to this journey she will take, so we're going to focus on them before we get to her beautiful song. Anxiety of the unknown. We all know about the unknown we don't want to always face up to. Remember that there has been nothing happening 400 years since Malachi. Not a word. Nothing could be seen in the natural. And then, it seems without warning, things were beginning to happen. Let's look for just a second at what was happening in that 400 years. People were being born who would be in the lineage of Mary and Joseph. Both of those families are involved in that. So a lot of background things were going on. God had not deserted. He was making plans. When Mary first encountered the angel, the scripture says she was greatly troubled. Let us call that the start of her journey, anxiety. In that culture, a woman found to be pregnant and unmarried ran the risk of death by stoning from her father and then the other men in that village. Mary has a lot to think about as she considers this proposal. Will she trust God to do what he says he can do? All she wanted was that nice, normal life. She was already engaged. This news was going to deeply hurt the people she loved the most. Her fiancé would have no reason to believe her story. Her parents would be emotionally crushed, scandalized, even to the point of her being stoned. Yet, this was the Lord's request, and he can do anything, including protect this baby she is now carrying. Trust God. Most people are afraid of that unknown, that change. Those things we have never seen or experienced can be overwhelming. Nothing for 400 years in Israel. And now she's right in the midst of God's very next move. If you look at some of the really, really old maps, back before the world really understood the earth and details, cartographers would write down all that they knew about that map, but on the edges of the map, beyond which they had no knowledge or understanding, they would often write, "Beyond here, there are dragons." Mary was certainly in dragon territory. There was nothing about the angel's news that fit into her hopes and dreams for life. So her first reaction was understandable. She was greatly troubled. Some of us here today know what it's like to be greatly troubled. Your story may not involve an angel or an unplanned pregnancy, but you've experienced something you did not expect or want or plan for. And your first reactions included shock, anger, fear, a sense of loss, even disbelief. Troubled, in fact, used as a verb, by definition means to disturb, agitate, to agitate mentally or spiritually, to inconvenience. As a noun, it means a state of being troubled, uneasiness, annoyance, a time of distress. Synonyms equal affliction, calamity, misfortune, adversity, anxiety. Likewise, perplexed means doubtful, puzzled, bewildered, confused. 90 miles Mary had to travel, one step at a time. In fact, there are very few people who experience a life that even slightly resembles the plans they had when they were young. Looking back over your life, even now my life, I'm willing to state that maybe our plans for life did not include things like financial hardships, kids with special needs, grief, loss, divorce, moving away from family and friends. The list goes on and on. Think for just a minute about those ideals that you thought for your life would be, and yet life has taken a turn away from those ideals. This is Mary. Even in her low estate, she never even thought she would be called to bring the Messiah into the world. Let's look again at Mary and her journey. Although she started the journey at the place called troubled, perplexed, anxious, make this note, she did not stay there, and we cannot either. By the time we get to verse 38, after more dialogue with the angel, because we got to get this figured out, she has made her decision. May it be to me as you have said. Let's call that next destination in her journey acceptance. Although the questions rage on. It was a yes or no right then. He needed to know what her answer would be. Which would she obey? Ever have that conversation with the Lord? Yes, Lord, but you want me to do what? Hard things sometimes, very hard things. Acceptance is not necessarily joyous in that moment. It is not accompanied by wild enthusiasm. It is simply saying, okay, God, have it your way. I will obey. This is Mary assessing this whole angel and call to her from God. Acceptance is an understanding within which she has to make a choice. It was a step in the right direction. God desires our obedience. He is honored when we acknowledge his right to direct our lives. Still, acceptance is not all God hopes for or from his children. For Mary, the angel showed her that her willingness to carry this child that was not conceived by her husband Joseph was a larger part of God's big plan. She would give birth to a savior of the world. Mary was willing to go with God's plan. I tend to sometimes be a very reluctant follower. And much like Jonah, maybe, who eventually went to Nineveh as God asked him to, but his heart wasn't in it. Even so, God was in the move to call that city to repentance and confess, and they did. And Jonah was still upset. Of course, we know that they were enemies at the time. So that does give you a chance for, really, God, you want me to do what? Once again, a question. So Mary went straight away to visit Elizabeth, and there was that supernatural connection between the two women, both of whom are miraculously pregnant. And somewhere after acceptance, somewhere in that 90-mile trek, one step at a time, somewhere after days of wondering if she was out of her mind, this visit with Elizabeth somehow put everything in focus for Mary. Instead of condemnation, instead of name-calling, nothing, none of that. Elizabeth says to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Scripture does not record the conversations that followed her decision. Conversations with her fiancé or her parents. I think we can all sort of figure out how those conversations might have gone. Who would believe an angelic visitation and a holy pregnancy from a teenager? Mary had to trust God to work out all those details. All of a sudden, as Mary sang, as Elizabeth sang, Mary gets it and begins to sing herself. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of this humble estate of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." All of a sudden, she has this new perspective, a new understanding. This long journey that began in the place called troubled, anxious, has moved to a place called acceptance and was on the move once again. Mary was at the place called adoration, singing praises to God for this thing that had once seemed almost an unbearable burden. What had once been an unthinkable tragedy eventually became a burden she was willing to bear. But now, finally, this thing God has called her to do, had become a reason for joy and thanksgiving. Does this journey sound familiar to anyone? Your dreams died, my dreams have died very unexpectedly. But God brought a new reality into your life, or will bring a new reality into your life. One which you neither anticipated nor are prepared for, depending on where you are in your walk toward the new thing God is doing in your life. For you, as well as for Mary, myself, the journey began in anxiety and troubled and perplexed in thought. I can't imagine the number of questions going through her head as she walks this journey. Is this where You want to stay at acceptance? I hope not, and I pray not. It may be worth asking how Mary progressed all the way to acceptance. If we examine her words, it comes down to one thing, yet again, trust. Mary was willing to take that step. She was called to take. Are you ready? You might not be. This might be where you are right now, working it out in your own thinking. These things we've already spoken about, shock, anger, fear, the sense of loss or grief, do they not sound like something that we get counseled about when we find ourselves in distress over a life-changing situation? We can go through all these things and think we're okay and go back through all these things all over again until we come to that decision that God can walk us through it. Trust. It's a huge step to take, especially if you've never trusted God before. You have to struggle emotionally, dealing with the feelings that God has taken something from you, not given you something valuable. You have to struggle intellectually, coming to believe a circumstance that everyone in his or her right mind calls a curse in this world. And really, in a way, it is our blessing from God. But we have to recognize it. And above all, it requires the spiritual struggle. We all desperately want to control our lives and have a difficult time saying to God, may it be as you have said. But if you will just take whatever tiny amount of trust you can find and give God a chance, you will be taking a big step toward what he has in store for you. Isaiah 28:16 says, so this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. And Jesus says in John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Let's assume that at some point you have gave your life to Christ because you do want to please God. You managed to journey as far as acceptance, but there was as far into the journey as you have gotten or even hoped for. Are you willing to travel further? Are you willing to take one more step of faith, believing that this thing that you have accepted but never embraced might actually be the key part of God's bigger plan? The end of Lee Strobel's report and story. He went back to visit the family whose apartment was now overwhelmed with the giving of the people who responded to his story. He never knew, never had a clue that this was going on. In the end, this family was a grandma and two granddaughters. The parents were both deceased. They had so little, and now they were overwhelmed with all they had, and they're making piles, they're sorting things out. It's like, well, what are you doing? Oh, we can't keep this, we have to give it away. And he was astounded to say, give it away? What do you mean give it away? We're going to need this. They're like, no, this isn't for us to keep. It was given, now we give. So their hearts were so open to that. In the end, Lee wanted this faith and trust that this one grandmother, caring for two granddaughters, possessed. Lee says they had peace, despite their poverty, while I had anxiety despite my plenty. They knew the joy of generosity, while I only knew the loneliness of ambition. They looked heavenward for hope, while I looked out only for myself. They experienced the wonder of the spiritual, while I was shackled to the shallowness of the material. And something made me long for what they had, or more exactly, the one they knew and trusted. Don't think that Mary didn't know what this grandmother knew in the words of God from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Mary was filled with wonder that God would use her, poor and young and lowly, for an eternal purpose. If I could, I would give each and every one of you that gift of trust and believing that God's intent is not to harm you, but to bless you. But that's not my job. Remember our little bit of faith. Our little bit of faith leads us to believing and takes us on to trust. This is where Mary has gotten to. In a similar way for many of us over the years, the soot, the grime, and the dust of daily life have obscured our vision of God's goodness. God's character seems blah, mediocre, and maybe even dark. We no longer feel and deeply believe that through Christ we do have a good, good Father. Through the Word of God, the Spirit's presence, and the love of the fellow Christians, God begins to a work of restoration so we can see the true colors of His brilliant goodness. Trust God, trust also in me, says His Son. I had no idea when I began serving how fulfilling it would be to see people's lives changed forever on a regular basis. We have a front row seat watching God perform miracles we had no idea could come true. We've seen angry and bitter people discover the healing power of forgiveness. I've seen hopeless marriages restored, and they are testified to constantly. As a fellow traveler, I want to tell you that the next leg of the journey is better than the last. Someday you can be or will be singing the same song of wonder that Mary sang for your own reasons. When God interrupts our lives, it's more important to watch what He is doing through us for His ultimate glory, in that He also cares for us in ways we barely understand. Love covers all He does in and through us. Amen.